Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. When we began our investigation to the parables of the Quran, we shared with you a very important couple of verses from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, to learn about why did Jesus speak to the crowds in parables, not in direct talk. And that is what we read in Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35. And I repeat again today, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So why Jesus spoke in parables? The answer is very simple. Because he is fulfilling the prophecies which were written. That's how Jesus will speak to all the people. Now, how can people understand the parable? And as I shared with you in the beginning of our investigation to the parables of the Quran, that parable is a story with a mystery, a story you could not understand what the speaker is telling in that parable unless you really hear what he meant by what he said. In other words, it's a story with a secret message, and until the person who's telling the story reveal to us what is in that secret message, no one could understand what he is talking about. And that's exactly what happened in all the teaching of Jesus. When he spoke to the crowd, he only used parables. And people came and people left without understanding anything about what Jesus is trying to say. So you may ask a question. So what was the purpose of Jesus telling a story with mystery and no one knows what's in it? No. You misunderstand what I'm trying to say. You see, the disciples of Jesus always come back to him and they ask him, what did you mean by what you said in that parable? And that's when Jesus explained to them. And he told them the reason he explained to them because they asked. As for the rest of the crowd, they came empty and they left empty. Maybe they enjoyed a meal or have some of the miracles performed to some of their people, but they never got the mystery of the kingdom of God, which was taught by our Lord in parables to the crowd and with its interpretation to his disciples. We can see clearly that which I'm talking about in the following two verses of the same Matthew chapter 13, and that is verses 10 and 11. Here is the surprise of the disciples about Jesus speaking in parables. As we read, and the disciples came and said to him, him here is our Lord Jesus Christ, why do you speak to them in parables? In verse 11 we read, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. That is the whole purpose of why Jesus spoke in parables to the crowd and why he explained the meaning of the parables to his disciples. Now, as I said before, I repeat myself, we had investigated the Quran and we looked at all the parables which is mentioned in the Quran, and we were not very surprised to know that Allah, Jibreel, Muhammad, and even Muslim scholars do not know what a parable is. They have no idea. When Muhammad just used the word parable in his poetry of the Quran, he or those who listen to him believe that he is giving a parable, when in reality, there was not one parable in the Quran. In our last program, we promise you to share with you some of the parables of the Bible. And obviously, that study can go on and on and on for all the red words which were taught by our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ if you have red verses in your Bible. Because once again, all what Jesus said to the crowd was in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. But for whatever time we have today, let us look at some of these parables which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ taught the crowd and the meaning of it for us believers today. Perhaps our dear Muslim friends who are listening to this broadcast right now can figure out the difference between using the word parable in the Quran and the real parables of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in the Bible. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, beginning from verse 24, we read about the parable of the weeds. And hear what the scripture said. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now, obviously, we have no idea what Jesus is talking about here from reading these verses. And that's what we mean by saying Jesus spoke in parables. To understand that parable, you have to understand the explanation or the interpretation our Lord Jesus Christ gave to us, which is also written in the gospel. But let me read you another parable. For in verse 31 we read, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.'" Once again, here is a parable, and we do not know what Jesus meant by what he said. Let's read another parable in verse 33. "Another parable he," that is our Lord, "spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened.'" What is the meaning of that parable? Once again, we do not know. But let us listen to the interpretation of our Lord to the first parable, the parable of the weed. For in verse 36, we read, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.'" Notice here, the multitude left without asking, "What did you mean by what you said?" But here's the disciples with Jesus by themselves in the house, and they ask Jesus, "What do you mean by this parable?" In verse 37, we read, "He," that is our Lord, "answered and said to them, 'He who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man.'" Jesus is speaking here of himself. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Notice here, now we know what Jesus meant by everything he put in the parable. And by the way, I do not need to go to some Christian theologians to tell me that scholars disagree, and they tell me it could be A, it could be B, it could be C, and they give us multiple choices, and then they end by saying, "And God knows best," or "Jesus knows best." No, 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 my friends. That's not the case in the Bible. Jesus gives a parable, and it is hard to understand what he meant by what he said, the disciples alone asked him, what do you mean by that parable? And Jesus explained to them without giving them options to choose from. No, here is what I mentioned in the parable, and these things represent the meaning which he gave to the disciples. And now we can learn about the kingdom of God.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
So what we have so far is that Jesus, the Son of Man, is the one who planted the good seeds in the field. And what is the field? The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. And the bad tares, obviously, the sons of the wicked. Let's continue in verse 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. That is what Allah in the Quran always talk about as Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of the resurrection. And the reapers are the angels. Yes, indeed, Muhammad talked about angels and they will have a role in the time of judgment by reading what they wrote in the book. And that is the angels on the right hand who write everything good and the prayer and whatever Muslims do for Allah. And the angels on the left who write all the sins and the wickedness which the Muslim will be practicing in their life. This repeated scenario is not true. What Muhammad was talking about, it is taken from the Bible and twisted to say something else. No, my friends, angels will not write down anything about our good or bad deeds, because nobody is going to argue with God in the day of judgment. And he said, no, I did not say that. I did not do that. Because then God will say, well, let's look in the book and read what is written. This is like great imagination of little children in Islam. But in reality, God does not need angels to write books about our wickedness and our goodness so he can judge us by it, because God knows everything about our life, even our thoughts. And no one is going to argue with God to say, no, you're wrong, I did not say it or I did not do it. In verse 40, we continue to read, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In verse 43, we read, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ continued to talk to his disciples. Now we have to realize that none of the crowds are there. They're already gone. And Jesus speaking one-on-one with his disciples. So he will continue to talk to them by telling more of his interpretation to what is the kingdom of God is about. But he is not going to be using parables here because, once again, the reason why Jesus used parables that people will hear but they will not understand. They will have eyes but they cannot see. They'll have mind but they cannot comprehend what he's talking about because it is not for the world to know the secrets of the kingdom of God before Christ died on the cross and be buried and rose again on the third day and ascend to heaven. This is one-on-one Jesus and his disciples. Great time of teachings to prepare them for the great ministry, for the great mission to go to the end of the world to share the truth of his kingdom. So we read in verse 44, Jesus taught his disciples, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And in verse 45, we read, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Continue in verse 47. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but throw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Why do you think they understood the saying of Jesus, which began in verse 44? It's very simple, because Jesus was not speaking to them in parables, but he was actually telling them what exactly the kingdom of God is. How God will separate those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who receive his righteousness, from the other ones who did not believe and accept his truth. For there will be a time that everyone will be judged. Yes, all the living and all the dead will be standing before God for the judgment. Obviously, the believers in Christ will not be judged like the wicked, because we know that their sin is forgiven. We will be judged before the Lord Jesus Christ, but not for our sins, but will be judged for our works. What have we done for his kingdom? And believe it or not, the more we do for Christ as believers, the more the crowns we will get. And what is so amazing about that it is in the end that all the crowns which we will receive will be put under the feet of Jesus. As for the wicked, once again, they will be punished for eternity in hell. I know that there are plenty of people today, sadly, do not believe in hell. Well, I do not know why you do not believe in hell, but you want to believe in heaven. Where is the justice of God when he will not punish those who rejected him as king and as Lord? Obviously, Jesus spoke in the Bible in many verses about hell and the gnashing of teeth more than he spoke about heaven. And if we just examine the scripture, we find the truth about his kingdom. But what is important right now is this. Jesus spoke in parables. And the parables is all over his 3 years of ministry. And once again, our Lord Jesus spoke to the crowd only in parables. And no one understood what he's talking about until he met with his disciples alone. And that's when they asked him and he explained to them what he meant by what he said. On the other hand, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples alone, he did not speak to them in parables. And believe me, my friends, It is normal for believers, when they read the Bible, at the beginning, they will not understand what Jesus meant. But as you continue to read the parables of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, throughout the Gospels, you will be guided by the Holy Spirit to understand what Jesus meant by what he said. And that will bring us to the end of our study, to the parables of the Quran. We will resume our normal investigation to the teaching of some of the verses of Allah in the Quran as we began our study some time ago, as we continue with the rest of the teaching of Quran chapter 16, as we stopped at verse 77. And from there, we will continue in our study of the rest of the commentaries to some of the important verses of the Quran. As you know, we will not be doing a commentary to all the verses of the Quran. We just move on to what I believe it's very important to be understood. So not only we can figure out what is wrong with the majority of the teaching of the Quran, but even for our dear Muslim friends to know the truth about their so-called holy word of Allah, the Quran, the only miracle which Muhammad produced to them. For as you know, Muslims believe in the Quran to be the miracle of Islam, the miracle from which Muhammad can prove to them and to the world that he is the final prophet of Allah, the final messenger with the truth of the word of Allah. When in reality, as we have seen so far, the Quran is just simply a counterfeit book of the Bible, which is filled with many errors and contradictions. And that is what we will prove as we continue in our study. And as we continue in our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.